Now. What's up there, Sparky?
Blessed morning to you guys.
Blessed morning back at you, dog.
Captain Hawk.
A Barry Sanders signed urinal. Right now it's on eBay. Barry's signed it. It's from the Pontiac Silverdome, complete with his signature.
That would be awesome.
Freaking awesome.
You know how many times that thing's been used? I don't care how much bleach is put on it.
Urinal fresh.
Kerry Wood did his charity event, I Am Seated, and he stole the urinal that's right behind the dugout where the players go during the game when they got to take a quick one. He got all the players to autograph it. Wouldn't it be cool to go into your bathroom at home?
But if it's signed, why would you use it?
Yeah.
Because it was signed on the outside. I'm not supposed to whiz on the outside of the urinal.
Hey, that was Kyle that went number 2 in the urinal.
You never know. Sometimes it gets tricky.
Well, if you do it with a Sharpie, those are permanent. Sharpie says that it's permanent marker.
I still
withstand
don't want
whatever.
I don't want it. I don't want it.
Urine, whatever it is.
Thanks for having me on the show today, guys.
I got to use the urine.
Stay golden, honey boy. I got a pee.
From the 7th floor of the Tribune Towers.
Boy, this has been tremendously tremendous.
In downtown Chicago.
Chicago! Kolchak scores! Scores! Beauty!
Come on, sucker.
He is moving like a tremendous machine.
Let's get it on.
It's the Cap'n Haw Show.
Everyone has to do their job.
We're going to ball until we fall.
That's a shot and a beer.
Do your job.
That's the Hazleton way.
Let's begin now.
Yes!
Good morning. Welcome in. Cap'n Haw on the air. On Comcast Sportsnet WGN+. Got my boy back in the studio. After his excursion to South Florida, North Florida,
Central Florida. Get the map out, Cap.
He is David Hall, lead columnist, Chicago Tribune. I'm David Kaplan. Mike Jacobson, our executive producer. Matt Rooney, who didn't even watch the game on Saturday.
Good reason, though.
Phone, is our associate
Valid
producer.
Reason.
Awful reason.
Valid.
And Pat Costell's our great director. Welcome in. We'll be here until
Noon. Yeah, I think that's the way it usually goes. I haven't been gone that long. Happy to be back from the humidity capital of America. Definitely good
to
be back
humid
in Chicago.
Down there?
Yes.
It'd be great to go for a run in that.
That's what I thought. And
there's nothing like working up a good sweat.
Goodness. If you ever want to lose water weight, go to Tampa for like a weekend and jog in 80 degree weather.
So I told you that your wife said, David, I came into a little money. We're retiring.
No.
You're moving either to Florida or Arizona.
Well, you know, that's funny, Cap, because I had that conversation with my wife yesterday because I think I remember coming home from spring training and feeling like, boy, that heat wave. And remember, it was a heat wave in Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't remember it being this oppressive.
It was hot when we were
there. It was hot.
I loved it, though.
And then 4 days in Tampa, I'll take that any day over this humidity.
You'll take Arizona.
I'll take Arizona over the humidity of Tampa.
I mean, you know it gets like 110.
I know.
In the summer.
But I went jogging before Saturday's game 2, and they had a construction road blocked. Ended up having to go an extra mile or so.
Good for you.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Come back and is like, oh, my goodness.
Somebody texted me. I'm trying to remember who it is or tweeted at me. Just saw David Haw out running.
Yeah. This weekend?
When you were in Florida.
Oh. I don't know. Might have been the construction workers who I had to avoid to go back the other way. Anyway, enough about that.
All right.
Game three tonight.
Tonight, coming up on the show, Eddie Olczyk, the great Edzo, NHL on NBC color analyst, Blackhawks TV during the season on CSN and GN.
Horse racing
and
expert.
We'll
part
talk,
of history on Saturday.
Yeah, it was awesome to watch. 10:25, Tracy Meyer, CSN Chicago, CSNChicago.com, Blackhawks insider.
Yep.
Will join us 10:25, and then tonight is the MLB draft.
By the way. Is that in Chicago? We have Draft
no.
Town?
They don't have – Do we have a Draft Town? New York?
I don't know.
We don't have Draft Town.
I knew
town
I was long for gone for a while. Didn't know if I missed that.
Anyway, Jonathan Mayo, who's their draft analyst, MLB.com and MLBpipeline.com,
yes,
will join us at 10:55. White Sox pick 8th.
Cubs 9th. Yeah, and I think when you see Carlos Rodon pitching for the White Sox and you see Kyle Schwarber being rumored to be called up by the Cubs perhaps this week, you see that they were just drafted a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that there's anybody they're going to draft at 8 and 9 that looks like that kind of a guy.
Well, how about there's, I think, 3 pitchers now in Major League Baseball that were in last year's draft.
Yeah.
Rodon. Brandon Finnegan became the first player ever last year to pitch in the College World Series, get drafted, and then pitch in the Major League World Series
what a
appearing
year.
In Game 3.
What a year.
So his hat was sent to the Hall of Fame. And he and Rodon actually exchanged pitching tips in the outfield at Wrigley when they were playing for Team USA.
A lot of speculation surrounding Tyler J, the Illinois lefty who's
from Lamont,
pitching today, I believe, for the Illini, and could be drafted tonight.
Yep.
There's what a day that would be.
Talk that the Cubs and Sox both are interested at 8 or 9, but it's not expected he'll be available.
Right.
And then the other question is, do the Cubs or the Sox have the temerity to take a shot at Brady Aiken, last year's number one pick, 2 years removed from Tommy John surgery?
This year's medical patient. We will talk about that because later I think there's
swinging
some valid
the fences there.
Points. Swinging for the fences or swinging blindly. We'll get to that later because I think there's some good points on both sides of that argument. We'll also talk Cubs and Sox because the Cubs took 3 out of 4 against the Nationals on the road.
Yep.
And they get a day off before going into Detroit for a big series.
And then lose Javi Baez for up to 8 weeks with a broken left ring finger.
Tough year for the kid because he's gone through some personal anguish with the loss of his sister and now the injury. Also talk White Sox because they are actually in town tonight. And they did not deliver. Again, another tough outing from Jeff Samardzija. Again, they disappoint over the weekend against the Tigers, who a team that wasn't playing well.
They lost 7 straight coming in.
Before they saw the White Sox.
And take 2 of 3.
So we'll get to baseball, but we have to focus on what is appropriate today, and that is the Hawks coming back. Home ice, Stanley Cup Final, Game 3. The Stanley Cup Final returns to Chicago. And this is an exciting day because this is what everyone has been waiting for. June hockey at the United Center, something that you thought was possible, something you wanted in 2014, something you remember fondly from 2013 and 2010. This is a Blackhawk team coming home, not panicking, not feeling like they let one get away. I think respectful of what the Lightning accomplished on Saturday night, not overreacting to the Corey Crawford tough night, and not overreacting to Patrick Sharp's tough night. Championship pedigree. They feel like they've played well on home ice. There's a lot of confidence in that room. As I wrote today, though, Cap, can you win a Stanley Cup final when your role players are out producing your stars? I know it's only 2 games, but it's okay to acknowledge what's not happening. And what's not happening is that the guys who you have come to rely upon have not yet started scoring. And yes, it is showtime, as the Chicago Tribune front page of the sports section announces today. Reminds Patrick Kane, there's his little
get it going there, pal.
Okay, it is showtime.
We need you, pal.
Let's see it tonight at 7.
How about a little breakfast for Kaner over at the Palace Grill with his dad and then Pat Sr. And then make your way over and get her done. Skate and then play well tonight.
Pat Sr.'s a pretty pensive papa during the games.
He's interesting.
Have you seen him wandering?
Oh, absolutely, around the concourse.
Kind of like when you're walking during overtime, do you ever bump into a Pat Kane Sr.?
I've bumped into a Pat Kane Sr., not during overtime, but I have bumped into a Pat Kane Sr.
Yeah. I remember a couple years ago, I always think of him when I see him during the playoffs, during the remember Kaner had – didn't he scored the – beat the Kings. He had the clinching goal in overtime, I believe it was.
Yeah, the 2-on-1.
Yeah, and right before that overtime, Pat Kane Sr. was in the press room going into the bathroom, and he had the look of somebody. I remember him saying something, but I don't remember anything that I clearly understood because he was just nervous.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny because he's a regular presence now at all these games, and you see the anxiety that he feels. But yeah, Kane's got to get going.
And the
tonight.
Funny thing is, I did the Inside Look show with Patrick Kane. We sat on the ice with the net right behind us, right on the ice. It was very cool, and his dad was there. And Pat Kane is giving me a hard time. He's like, all you got to do is let it grow in a little on the sides, and you'll have hair just like my dad, because his dad has just, you know, the horseshoe, nothing on top.
They call it the horseshoe?
The horseshoe.
Okay.
So I just like it all shaved. And I said, oh, yeah, that'll be you someday there, buddy. And he said, no, got a full head of hair. You see how thin his hair is getting?
How many years ago was that inside look?
It was probably 3-4 years ago.
Yeah.
His hair is thinning.
I think that's why he basks in the glory of his mullet, because he wants to enjoy it while he can.
While he has it.
Flaunt it.
Because you'll be writing a column for the front page of the Tribune probably 10 years from now.
Will I?
A balding
Boy, are you
Patrick
confident?
Kane.
I like that industry confidence there, Cap. Thank you very much.
I believe in you,
yeah,
buddy.
All right.
Anyway, Lots to talk about from Saturday night's game.
Yeah,
let's start with the goaltender.
Start with the goaltender, the goaltenders. How about that? Because that is the storyline coming in tonight. Who is going to be in net for the Lightning?
Right. I mean, are we sponsoring the Lightning's goalie with Imodium, or was it something else? I don't know. Did he have diarrhea? Did he have a knee problem? I've heard everything speculated.
It certainly sounds like stomach. Let's put a broad brush over the stomach ailment. It could have been something to that degree. It looked that way. Mm-hmm. It certainly had those sort of symptoms, if you will, because it was pretty immediate that he left the ice and then he came back. Then it was pretty immediate he left the ice again. But Andre Vasilevskiy, the 20-year-old from Ufa, Russia. Give the kid a lot of credit.
Yeah.
Comes in 9.5 minutes to go, back and forth.
He is one of the top prospects in hockey.
He's also 20 years old, Cap.
He is.
And as much as we go gaga over Finnish Cold and Teuvo Teravainen, and we'll get to him later because there's a lot of Teuvo love we have to deliver today. You have to give their 20-year-old phenom credit for responding against a team that has been there before, a team attacking you in a power play at crunch time. A team that you know, should be able to find a way to solve you, and you stop them with everything on the line. So, who's going to be in net tonight, and how bad was Corey Crawford? Because I think you get a difference of opinion. So,
and if you're a diehard Hawk fan or claim to be, would you go to a concert the night of Game 2 of the Stanley Cup Final? Don't think so. For weeks, you've been hearing me talk about MyPillow. Have you taken my advice and ordered yourself a MyPillow yet? MyPillow, the guaranteed most comfortable pillow you'll ever own. Try it. Absolutely no risk to you, baby. Sleep on it for 60 nights. And if you don't love it as much as I do, no problem. Return it. And they'll refund 100% of the purchase price. Who does that? That's how confident MyPillow is in their product. My wife found these online. This is quite a while ago. We bought them. Love them. And then one of the sales guys said, guess who wants to advertise? MyPillow. It even has a cooling effect. Summer heat and humidity is here. You need a pillow that keeps your head cool and comfortable. It's endorsed by the National Sleep Foundation as well. Test it out. See what they've sold over 5 million. Act this week. MyPillow gives you 50% off all products using the promo code CAP. Log on MyPillow.com. Use the promo code CAP, K-A-P, 800-299-5854. 800-299-5854. MyPillow.com, promo code K-A-P. For 50% off. Take time out. We'll come right back. It's Cap'n Haw right here on CSN WGN Plus.
It's Cap'n Haw.
Status of your goalie, Ben Bishop.
Well, in honor of the 11-year anniversary of our organization's first Stanley Cup, how would John Tortorella answer that question?
Is he available tomorrow night?
I'll just leave it at that.
Do you know right now who's going to play net for you tomorrow?
No, I don't. Which would tell you, if I don't know, that Bish could be available.
John Cooper, fine head coach, Tampa Bay Lightning, at ease, having fun.
He's entertaining.
And he is unsure who his goalie is.
No,
I'm betting it's Bishop.
I don't think he's unsure.
I think it's Bishop.
I think he knows. Yes, I think it will be Ben Bishop. I think there always could be the element of surprise.
But what does he gain by not saying anything?
Well, it's a rhetorical question, Cap. I mean, really, think about that question. What does any coach gain from concealing information?
Well, if you told me that
about anything,
Steven Stamkos is questionable. Okay, we got to figure out our line matchups, what we're going to do here. Well, Stamkos isn't there. I'm going to match him this way. Different. It's the goalie, man. He's either in there or he's not.
It's like a quarterback, though. You wouldn't want to.
You don't game plan differently for different goalies.
So you're saying, I don't know. I don't know about game planning differently, but you might approach it differently.
You might shoot to different areas.
You might strategically. You might game plan
differently. I'd love to ask Edzo what exactly you do differently.
Look,
if it's a different
goal. Blackhawks truly don't care, I don't believe. I don't think that it makes any difference to them.
Mm-hmm.
Ben Bishop has been very good, and he's been very, you know, shaky at times. I think Ben Bishop is the guy that they want in net, and certainly they expect to see. If it's a 20-year-old rookie, then they will adjust to – they don't care. But I think that John Cooper is just honoring the age-old requirement of coaches to conceal as little or as much as they possibly can. He's a funny guy. He's an entertaining guy. The story's well documented. Rose through the ranks of the minor leagues, was a public defender.
He's an attorney, too, yeah.
He's an attorney. He's a dad. He's kind of a breath of fresh air. Came in the other day after the morning after the media party, and he said something about, boy, it seems a little musty in this room. Did you guys go out last night or something? I mean, this is the guy that you heard the laughter, and he has been an entertaining presence consistently throughout this final. But I don't think it matters, Cap. I don't think that who they play necessarily affects the way the Blackhawks will prepare. That said, if it is, if Bishop isn't in net for the tonight's game, and you know Vasilevskiy is the guy they go to, it benefits the Blackhawks because of the inexperience issue. I think overall, though, the inexperience factor, you have to wonder how it's going to affect the Lightning as a whole, because this is an atmosphere that's got to have some impact. It's got to have some sort of, it's got to stir them somehow before they drop the puck. How will it affect them?
It's going to be an awesome environment.
Yes.
Tonight. It's going to be awesome.
And what effect will that have on the game? What will it bring out in the Hawks? Probably the same thing you're used to seeing, but what effect will it have on the visitors who might think, okay, we thought our home ice was a great atmosphere.
This is going to be awesome.
Yeah. I don't know.
So when we go to play tonight, you and I, because we don't go to work.
Okay, Doc Emmerich. You stole that out of the Doc Emmerich story.
No question
Paul
about Scherbina's
it. Paul Scherbina's great story.
My line is I always say I play at Disneyland every day. I know how lucky I am. It's Disneyland.
I like how you dropped that in there and you thought I wouldn't get it, though. You thought that you were going to steal Doc Emmerich.
But when we go to play,
when we go to play, okay,
it's gonna be a sick environment.
We're going to play a little early.
We are. We got a little 5 o'clock.
Sports Talk Live.
Right. It will be a Rick Tellender, a David Haw, and I believe a Mark Lazarus. And I think on Wednesday, career line change. Chris Cook is in.
Good. Looking forward to that. So you know what I mean, though. How will the Lightning react to that intangible? We know how the Hawks are supposed to respond and how they have on home ice. They've protected it. 7 out of 8 wins this postseason, I think. They're 7-1 in home ice, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And that's predictable, and that's comforting to a lot of Hawks fans. That's why you feel good about the Hawks coming home having stolen game one. But, Cap, is this series closer to being 2-0 Blackhawks or 2-0 Lightning? Because as much as people want to look at what happened on Saturday night and blame Patrick Sharp, who we can get into that, but back-to-back
and
penalties.
Corey took some hits.
Yeah, okay, took some hits. Yeah, but the Sharp thing was most egregious, I think, because it stood out back to back. Mark Potash dug it up, and I think it's gone 154 games where he's had two, since he had two penalties in a game like that. And that, to me, the game swung when they scored the power play goal after the second penalty. But the Hawks, if you agree. We talked on Friday. They stole game one, right?
Mm-hmm.
So are they closer to being up 2-0 or down 2-0 in this series?
Yeah, I think it's just even. Both teams got to win. I don't think anybody – the Hawks could say –
But, sometimes series are tied and you think, okay, they lead that series. Remember when the Cavs tied the Bulls 2-2 and they said, okay, the Cavs lead the series 2-2 because there was a sense that there was a team – in front.
I watched the Cavs game last night. I'm sure you did.
Yeah.
Cavs should be up 2-0 in that series.
Yeah, they should.
No question about it.
Yeah.
Gag City in game one.
We got to get to that too later because the Dela Vadova legend grows.
I love that guy.
But, do you feel as a Hawks fan that the Hawks are where they want to be in this series, or you think that they're lucky to be 1-1?
They're where they want to be.
Home ice.
No luck.
So your panic, not panic, your reaction to Saturday night's loss, which was
a tough
one. It was an expected loss, but you had them. That was a fast-paced game.
It was a
furious pace from the beginning. Entertaining hockey, unless you were playing in it, probably. It was a great.
Steven Stamkos said fastest game he's ever played, and he's like, "Wow, never played a game that fast."
And you had some opportunities there. If you're the Blackhawks, I mean, you came back. You had the greasy goal. You had some good moments.
Corey cannot give up the goal on the goal line. Can't give that up. Mike Milbury was a little more direct.
Harsh.
Yeah.
A little more over the top.
We'll talk about it.
More over the top than you. That's really saying something. But would you say that he was over the top?
I'm in Corey's corner, man. I learned the hard way in 13. It happens. But he would tell you. So I can't give that one up.
David Kaplan saying Mike Milbury was over the top.
Yeah, he was a little too out there.
Hyperbole? Hyperbolic?
Yeah, he was.
You wouldn't know anything about that, would you?
No, never. No. 9 a.m. hour sponsored by Apt Electronics in Glenview. ABT. Thank you for selling me a nice refrigerator on Saturday. Apt Electronics, APABT.com. The great Steve Shapiro is the guy you want to talk to. 312-235-2525. 312-235-2525. Take time out. Sounds like Patriots are releasing one of their better players for running afoul of the law, potentially. Be right back.
It's Cap and Haw.
There's Kucherov along the left wing boards. Hawk zone. Battling. Got it to Johnson, left corner. Walks out of the corner. Sharp angle. Shot! He scores! Tyler Johnson from next to the Hawk net on the goal line. Just backhanded that off of Crawford. And it rolled in behind him. The Lightning retake the lead at 3-2.
This one, he's going straight to hell on. Because this is a condemnable goal.
I kind of found on his backhand, hit the side of the nets, and I don't know if it bounced up or I kind of lost it from there, but I felt something on my back, and it's just you can't give those up in these games.
All right, that was John Weidemann on the call on the goal along the goal line where they stuffed it in. It was Mike Milbury on NBC saying he's going straight to hell on that one.
Okay.
And then Corey Crawford discussing said goal. Welcome back, Cap'n Haw, Comcast Sports at WGN Plus.
I'm with you on the over-the-top thing. That was too much.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like the one where he got in trouble with Corey Perry. Mike played it. You might have been out of town that day.
No, I remember that.
Were you here?
Yeah.
Milbury did not deserve any of the criticism. It was way, way taken out of context. This one?
Too much.
He's an idiot.
Yeah, too much.
That was stupid.
But that goal, I think I used the word slithered. It slithered through Corey Crawford underneath him. And I know that it is unacceptable. Is it unforgivable? You can't have that. He understands it. He accepts that. He knows that. He also played so well in game one. He gave you a chance to be in a position that you are in right now.
And this one, he's going straight to hell on because this is a condemnable goal.
I don't know about that. Maybe hockey purgatory for a while.
It's a bad goal to give up. That was
it
bad.
It is a bad goal to give up.
But that
you're
happens.
Going to give up bad goals
he's
in the playoffs.
Human.
Yeah, look at Lundqvist in the previous series against the Lightning. He gave
Game 7, the one between the legs, the five hole.
It happens to the best of them. I think that's – but it's okay to acknowledge that he gave up a bad goal and to respond to that. I don't think that you have to criticize it to that degree where he's going straight to hell. I think that the Blackhawks team comes into tonight, and it's a really stunning statistic with – you know, Patrick Kane for only – is being held without a shot and goal for only the second time in 112 career playoff games.
Mm-hmm.
That's a long stretch. That is a guy who you think should get going. What would you have thought at the beginning of this series last week, a week ago today, I guess, before it started game one? Okay, I'm going to tell you, Teuvo Teravainen is going to have a more of an impact on the first two games than Patrick Kane.
Than Kane and Taves combined.
Yeah. What would you have thought
and
of Cage, those odds?
Tave and Stamkos combined.
Right. What would you have thought of that?
I would have said, I don't see that happening.
I know. And as I wrote today, this is the odd juxtaposition of where the Blackhawks are right now. They have their role guys, their supporting cast, the secondary scorers, however you want to refer to them. The third and fourth line, Cap, or what are they doing? They're doing the scoring. They're carrying the scoring load. You look at Andrew Shaw and that fourth line, which has been terrific this postseason. Andrew Desjardins has been the best pickup since trade deadline day. Antoine Vermette, who scored the game winner in game one, was responsible for the double overtime game winner against the Ducks, has been terrific, and that's continued. That third line has, with Tavo and Vermette, has carried Patrick Sharp, who hasn't scored a goal in 11 games.
You know, it was a key part of that game, third period. The Lightning ice the puck. They get the rookie goalie, Vasilevskiy, in the net. Ice the puck, they can't change. Q goes with fresh troops. He's got Vermette out there. They get the faceoff. Mm-hmm. Fire away, can't get it in, and the Lightning ice it again. They're out of gas. Pierre, I think, said, dangerous timer here for Tampa. They're gassed. Q changes lines, brings Taves' line on. They get the faceoff. They can't control the puck. Boom, sent down the ice. And that let Tampa make a much-needed change. Fresh troops on the ice. Mm-hmm. That was a huge, huge segment in that game.
Yeah, it was. I know. But that, I still think it goes back to, if you're Stan Bowman, you're sitting there and you're watching, you're looking at your roster. If you're the Blackhawks fans, you're looking at your roster. You feel great about your depth. You feel great about the support you're getting throughout each line. And you're just waiting for, you know, the stars to arrive and align. And they will. I think the history suggests that could happen as early as tonight. And tomorrow we'll be sitting here and people will be texting and calling and saying, yeah, don't you feel like an idiot for questioning where the offense was from your two biggest stars? Maybe, but it's okay to acknowledge it. They're not getting it right now.
Correct. That's why they'll be split up tonight.
Well, certainly I think you could come to expect that. Joe Quenneville was somewhat coy, but indicated that that could happen. He also indicated he could go back to Brian Bickle tonight and that Trevor Van Riemsdyk could play against the Lightning in Game 3. How about that? Kyle Komiski, costly turnover in Game 2. David Rundblad did not have maybe as good of a game as maybe he played in Game 1. After a loss is when Q typically juggles. So you might see Bickle, you might see TVR. So DVR for TVR tonight. And TiVo for Tavo. There you go.
You're unbelievable. 312-235-2525. We got other stuff we got to talk about too before Edzo joins us. The NBA game last night we got to get to.
All right, we'll get to that. I'm still on the hockey high here.
No, I know. We've got a whole bunch of stuff though for people out there that may not have their hockey swerve on. Yeah. We will get to that.
We will.
I want to bring up the NFL Top 100 to you before we get out of here at noon today. So we'll get to all of that. And I had one of the great desserts I've ever had last night.
Well, we got to get to that.
So we got to get to that, too.
I don't know what I would do.
It cost me $3, and it was unbelievable.
For the rest of the day, if I didn't know what you had for dessert on a Sunday.
It was $3, best $3 I've spent in a long time.
Did you see any of the media session yesterday with the Blackhawks?
I did.
With Kane, Taze,
and Tavo.
And Tavo. And Paul Sullivan, who was pressed into duty yesterday with a travel schedule, and Sully, the consummate sports writer, just baseball guy.
If you read his
baseball
story
guy
today about Tavo,
yeah,
you would have thought, oh, that's one of their hockey writers.
It was the first time he's written about hockey, he told me, since he covered the 94 Rangers Stanley Cup championship.
Pretty good.
And you couldn't tell because that's what, you know, he sports writers do. They just jump in.
Sully is a Damon Runyon character.
Yeah.
Central casting said, you need a sports writer? There you go.
So anyway, as he pointed out very well this morning, it was nice of Jonathan Toews and Patrick Kane and Patrick Kane's little brother to show up at the media session because Tavo looked like Patrick Kane's little brother. And he's playing like a guy, as Toews pointed out, the similarities to Kane are...
He said they were both on the ice together at one point.
Uncanny.
And it was like, wow, the skill level's crazy.
I don't know, you know, everyone is enjoying this moment in that Blackhawk dressing room. Everybody is basking in being back in the Stanley Cup final. I don't know if there's a player who's enjoyed it more, who looks like he's enjoying it more than Teuvo Teravainen. Everything is new to him. I know he kids about the fact that he doesn't want to score a goal because then he has to face the media. He said that after, I think, before game two. And then what did he do? He scored a goal and had to face the media.
Yep.
He's really, I think, seized the opportunity. He's taken advantage of the chance that they have given him that he has earned. He's let his skill sort of flourish. He's just let the game come to him. The give and go with Marin Hossa on the power play. Number one, by the way, good that he's on the power play, that he was being used there where he wasn't being used before. But he's just letting his natural ability come to the surface and playing free and with confidence, and he's dangerous. He's definitely dangerous, and he's been a factor in this final, in this series. He's had 4 goals in 14 games of the playoffs, I believe, and he had 4 during the regular season. And you can see the maturation, and this is a guy that is going to have a long career with the Blackhawks, I think.
And you see why Stan Bowman was so hesitant to give him up.
Yeah, I don't even think that was ever a consideration.
Right.
I think that maybe what people – you're referring to the Ryan Kessler
potential. And other deals. They had talked to other people, and he just said, I'm not giving him up.
No.
Sorry.
No.
He's staying with us.
You're seeing the beginning of something special, I think, and he's only 20. And from the temperament to the ability, I just think you're seeing a guy who is on the verge of greatness. And I don't say that lightly. I think that this is you see greatness in the way that he has, you know, played in this cup final. It's not the only young player who's having an impact, but he's certainly one of the ones who's having the biggest one for the Hawks.
Hey, get the ultimate experience with the all-new Samsung Curve 4K Ultra HD TV at Apt in Glenview. With the Samsung 4K Curved Ultra HD, you get the fastest internet and smart TV functions available. Come into Apt today. See the complete selection of Samsung electronics or call them at 847-544-2228. 847-544-2228. For complete satisfaction, free delivery, and a better experience, shop where we shop. It's Apt, A-B-T. Apt.com. Ask for the great Steve Shapiro. Pleasing people since 1936. Take a quick time out. Edzo joins us 9:55. We'll talk hockey, pucks, and ponies with Edzo. That's all coming up. Plus Tracy Myers, 1025. Jonathan Mayo, MLB draft analyst at 1055. Be right back.
It's Cap and Haw.
Caroline into Hulsa, bottom of the right circle, put it in front. Caroline in, should she score? That's a power play goal. And the Hawks retake the lead on the Lightning. Karavainen with his second of the finals.
He just keeps getting better and better as he gets more and more responsibility. But every chance he's getting, he's making big plays. He's already doing it, in the Stanley Cup final. So it's pretty amazing to watch.
But you heard Jonathan earlier talk about you the way he did. A, how did that make you feel? And B, do you think you're ready for a bigger role in time with the Hawks?
Yeah, of course. It's nice. I didn't listen because... too many great words, but it's just great, of course, being part of this kind of group here.
There you go, Teuvo Teravainen. Of course, John Wideman on the call on the Blackhawks Radio Network, WGN.
So was he saying
Jonathan Taves talking about his little brother.
But he doesn't listen to the captain? He says, I don't listen. That's a very good word, but I don't listen. And it's Kane's little brother, not Taves' little brother. If it's Taves' little brother, he'd have better. He'd have a little Abraham Lincoln, you know, beard growth going.
Bad beard.
It's definitely not a
good. You can't wait to get that thing off.
Okay, who's got a good beard, though? Because a lot of bad.
Scott Darling.
Yeah.
Brandon Saad.
But he has it all year long.
Brandon Saad.
Okay.
Has a really good beard.
There's a lot of iffy beards going on right now.
Scruffy.
It's a scruffy bunch.
Oh, Duya has a good one.
Okay, I'll admit that. But he wears it all year.
One of my kids, Alex, has a playoff beard.
Really?
It's thick. I mean, it came in, but it's like, I go, dude, trim the beard. He goes, trim the beard? We're in the finals. Are you crazy?
That's the one thing I do struggle to understand is when fans go the playoff beard route.
All over the city.
I have seen. This Chicago's in need of a good
razor.
It's not a
woman. I got no problem with it.
Well, I mean, okay. I don't. What does it make you feel? Bigger part of it? Is that what it is?
Yeah. People are invested emotionally.
I know they're invested emotionally.
You know, there'll be people showing up to work tomorrow tired because they're up.
Showing up to play tomorrow, not to work.
We get to play. Some people actually work for a living.
So, you know, do you see the weather forecast for tonight? Blackhawks forecast? Finish cold.
By the way, we talk about how good hockey players are to deal with. We had Brian Campbell in here while you were gone.
Yeah, heard that.
Mike, how good a dude is he? He's the best. Just an awesome guy. Montreal Canadiens defenseman P.K. Subban went out to dinner in Montreal's Westmount neighborhood Sunday night. And he's dressed. He's got flip-flops on, just casuals, got his little fedora on. And after he left dinner, he sees some kids playing street hockey out in the street. He grabs a stick and he's shooting shots on an 8-year-old goalie named Jack Fraser. Stumbled upon the street hockey game. The kid's father, Aaron, said, "This says everything about what kind of guy PK is. Not only the most talented defenseman in hockey, he also does it with a smile on his face. This kid's can sense it, and they eat it up." And they have video of him out there shooting shots on an 8-year-old goalie who's got all the gear on in the street.
And is he letting the kid stop his shots?
First two went right in.
Well, then, yeah.
And then the kid stopped him, and everyone went nuts. He got him two in a row. He stopped him.
So he was playing along.
Yeah.
I didn't know if it was one of those things where he was just such a competitive guy where he's crushing this 8-year-old psyche.
No. And
that's good for him. Hockey guys,
you know,
are
what?
Like that.
Hockey guys are like that. Sports Illustrated video. PK Subban crashed some kid's street hockey game. It's just so cool to see some guys get it.
Yeah, I think that's pretty universal across the sport. I mean, you tend to deal with professional athletes that are disconnected from reality, guys who are kind of they forget quickly where they came from or forget how it was to be 8 years old. I don't see that as often in hockey. I don't think people do as you do other sports. We were talking over the weekend with some of the people who covering this series and people that, you know, go from sport to sport. And certainly you appreciate hockey players for what they represent. And as a rule, I think generalizing that they are the best group to cover. They seem to get it. They seem to be more just professionally courteous. I say this, and this sort of relates to what we're talking about. It happens in other sports, certainly. Patrick Sharp, probably as unpopular of a Blackhawk today as anybody, right?
Because of the two penalties?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you woke up Sunday morning, and if you were looking for a scapegoat in Game 2, he was the guy. Would you agree with that?
I don't know. Judging on Twitter, I thought Corey was getting more abuse.
I don't think so. I mean, I think that not based on my feedback. I mean, what I'm getting at is Patrick Sharp. By the way, both papers had posters of Patrick Sharp yesterday.
Yeah, good timing.
In the bad timing department.
Yep.
He didn't hesitate. Saturday night, he was the first guy to in the room facing the cameras, addressing the back-to-back penalties, apologizing to his team, and taking responsibility for his bad penalties. That the second one led to a power play, and that was the game-winning goal. So, you know, not that that is unusual maybe anymore, because I think you see a lot of that in the Hawks room especially, and maybe not in usual hockey, but it's also reflective of what we talked about. A lot of these guys hold themselves accountable. They understand how it works. A day earlier, Patrick Kane was in the, you know, I was remarking with Mark Potash, you mentioned him from the Sun-Times. Kane kind of knows what he thinks like fans think, and so Mark made the comment that if you're looking for an angle, he kind of gets what angle you're looking for, and he'll play. He plays along. He talks to you like you know. He understands what maybe how fans view a game, mm-hmm. And it's reflective of that entire room and that entire sport of guys who just seem to get it.
Here's Patrick Sharp after the game on Saturday night.
Yeah, they both were unintentional. It was battling to get the puck out, and I guess my stick came up and got him. Clearly, I didn't mean to do it, but it happens. I'll take responsibility. It was. I said before, it's tough to put a penalty kill in a stressful situation like that. They did a great job of killing it, deflection goal.
Yep, hold yourself accountable. You know the fans are.
Yep.
You know that, again, the reaction to Sharpie committing back-to-back penalties and then seeing them score was like, oh, my gosh, get out of town already. He hadn't scored in 11 games. Then he does that. It's not an easy time to be Patrick Sharp right now.
So go out tonight and light the lamp twice and get everybody all jacked up.
Yeah, I like this. Some of the email and even Matt Rooney mentioned this morning. He's like,
got to win.
Boy, this is what he's going to be remembered for. He can't get out of town quick enough because he's going to be one of these guys you figure is going to be part of the salary cap purge. And then I was like, well, maybe. Let's wait until the end of the series. If he scores the game winner or the series clincher, he's going to have a much different feeling about Patrick Sharp at the end of the series than you do right now. And all that stuff's still possible.
All right, 312-235-2525. 25. Edzo's going to join us in about 7 minutes. But a few other things over the weekend. We'll get to NBA a little bit. But Matt, our fine associate producer, went to see. Who'd you go to see?
Stop talking about Kenny Chesney. I know you're doing it for effect.
No, if you really are that, I thought it was Miranda Lambert.
Well, she was there too.
Okay, and so I was right.
And I heard that she was terrific. I heard Kenny Chesney was great. You're giving him a hard time because he had tickets for the Soldier Field sold out concert for Kenny Chesney, and he honored those tickets. He went with some friends,
right?
And he did.
I'm a diehard Blackhawks fan.
Right. I get it though. He had a previous engagement.
Let me ask you this. If Springsteen had been there and I had front row tickets, I would have sold them and gone to watch the Hawk game.
Where did you watch Game 7 of the Ducks-Hawks series?
In Vegas. I watched the game. I did not leave till the game ended, till the Hawks had won.
Okay. Where did you watch, which one of the games did you end up at Wrigley?
I sat in a bar by myself so I could watch the whole game.
But the point is that I'm sure he was paying attention. He was watching the game as closely as probably you were watching the game on
no
your
shot.
Phone.
No shot.
Oh, come on.
No shot.
When you're watching the game, you're doing three other things. At least his attentions were probably divided between Kenny Chesney.
Whoa. How much do I tweet during a hockey game? Not a lot.
I don't recall. I don't pay attention to your tweets.
Yeah.
During a hockey game.
What do you put me on mute? I don't. I don't put a lot of.
You're not supposed to be looking
time
at my screen.
Into Twitter. I watch the hockey game.
The mute key is a wonderful key, though,
it's
isn't
phenomenal.
It? It's phenomenal. It's better than the block.
Yeah, because the block they know.
Yeah.
The mute.
Sometimes
they have
you
no
want
idea.
Them to know, though.
Right.
Not you. How did you find out?
Block unblock.
Anyway, I don't have any problem with Matt Rooney doing that. And anybody
weak.
Going to see Kenny Chesney, you're acting like Kenny Chesney's this up and comer who's like. Taking the world by storm, and this young guy, let's go see what he's all about. Kenny Chesney,
it doesn't matter,
is one of the top three names in country music, top three attractions.
It wouldn't matter if Miranda Lambert was sitting with him during the concert until she got up to perform.
Hold on a second here.
I'm listening.
Yes, it would.
Yes.
Don't even go there.
Yes,
hold on a
would.
Second. I'm sitting in the office today. Don't you dare deny it. I'm sitting in the office, and the three country fans, Jacobson, supposed country fan, Haw and Rooney. Yeah, Miranda Lambert looks good. She's lost a whole bunch of weight. You guys are just brutal on her.
Brutal? How's that brutal? Complimentary. She's very.
You should only be worried about her voice.
Oh.
Don't be so shallow.
Yeah. Boy, that coming from you, that's that's rich. I don't think you should.
And then Rooney decides to fire back at me that I left a Hawk game early during the season because my wife had a meeting. He didn't even stay till the end of the concert. Didn't even watch the encores.
Yeah, but I think that, again, you're sometimes at the mercy
of
people
you're with.
Well,
the group I was with wanted to leave. Well, the group I was with was my wife.
But his point is still a valid one. I mean, you don't stay to the end of hockey games sometimes.
One game I left early. I left when we were up
I heard
big.
It was a terrific concert. And if I were in town, I wouldn't have a choice. I'd have to work. But I did see the calendar and think, oh, man, that's a missed opportunity. I was looking forward to going to that concert. I understand totally his dilemma.
So weak.
Totally.
Weak. 312-235-2525. Him and his buddy Matt Siegert, they're tweeting at me. I'm like, you're at a concert. You're not a Hawks fan.
He was paying attention to the game. I know he was tweeting during the game. Tweeted something, I recall.
Wasn't even sober. 312-235-2525 is our number. The great, the one and only, Eddie Olczyk. He joins us next.